Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian couple Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Matt Achety is here at the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, this intro would reference Trump in Europe, but if it doesn't include Lamar, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, man. We appreciate it. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Ball Brian.
I know you, bro.
It's your old friend.
He says I can't act. Matt Achety in studio. I'm playing the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Aloha. Very excited to be here.
Yeah. It is hot as balls outside. I like to hot is a it's weird. It's global. It's something I wish you should look at these things in your life, which is I wish the mayor would look at traffic as sort of a global bummer. You know what I mean? Like everybody in the city
affects everyone equally.
And like I'm going to do KTLA, good morning, whatever, my hits at 10:30. I think I've left myself plenty of time, but the 101 jams up and now it's like 10, 11, and I'm starting to get anxiety because we're going live and I'm two exits away, but we're not moving. It's like it's a general angst. Yeah. The same way, like, you know, like if you have the rageful alcoholic stepdad who never lays a hand on the kid, but he's always raging in the next room and screaming at the mom and the hair. It's like it creates this sort of global anxiety. I feel that way about heat.
You may not be witnessing violence, but it's just there. It's seeping. It's permeating.
Yeah. Or maybe it's not perpetrated on you, but it's just it's
part of that corner.
It's there. And I feel that way about heat.
Well, and doesn't violent crime soar in the summer for that reason? People are uncomfortable. They're frustrated.
I also look at them as sort of like cockroaches in that when it gets cold, they don't really move around that much. But when it gets hot, you see them just running, just all out in the street and running around. I think criminals that way. But I had this realization. So I had this crazy situation where last minute Xbox wanted to shoot some sort of online commercial with me, and they wanted to go to the Irwindale Speedway. I told you guys some of this up on stage on Thursday.
Because when you want to promote a video game or anything associated with video games, you got to go right to the video game guy. Carolla, video game Carolla.
It is an asphalt bowl. It's a bowl of asphalt. It's not so much the racetrack. It's the infield is all asphalt, and we just set up shop right in the middle of it, and it just couldn't have been hotter. It was hot enough, but hot at the park, hot in the backyard, hot in the driveways, not in the sea of asphalt.
How many times did somebody say, well, at least it's a dry heat?
Wasn't even that.
That
though.
Guy was on fire.
They get a throat punch.
Yeah, you could see, and they brought everything out. They had the fans that blew the cold air. They had the towels, the wet towels everyone was putting on their head. Well, they had everything except for the guy in jeans wearing a lined windbreaker and makeup could not partake of the wet towel over the head because
the crew was comfy.
The makeup.
And didn't at the very last minute they took away your hat and sunglasses?
No. They
just as an
do
extra
that.
FU.
They always do that. So, but anyway, I think we went out and did our show in Oxnard, got out of there. 10 o'clock or so. I got home about 11 at a 6:45 call time. I don't think I shot until 3:30.
Oh. Did you at least have a trailer?
Oh, yeah. No, you would die.
He sat on a folding chair.
You would die. Irwindale is, when it's hot, is the last place you want to go when it's hot, because it is this surface of the moon mixed with just some of the craziest people you ever see. They don't walk. They stagger in Irwindale. Like, they walk sideways like a feral dog. You know, they just, everyone just walks sideways across the street. It is got to be, you know.
It's like the Road Warrior.
Yeah.
Right?
When is the last time you went to a really bad gas station in a really bad neighborhood where it's like,
oh, wow,
it's crowded, but the average price of the car is about $1,100, maybe $900. People are standing and eating, you know, out of a bucket of chicken. There's weird things on the car, duct tape and stuff like that. Conversations, like, just where you know very quickly, oh, this is bad.
Yeah, like, you're not checking your phone. You're kind of like looking around. Yeah. Like, you don't want to pick the phone.
Everyone's trying to do your windshield.
Right. At some point, you may make the decision, you know what? I'm going to keep driving and then just call AAA.
Just right.
Because
right.
I don't want to get out of the car.
Yeah, it's like they say you can judge a nation by its prisons. I say you judge a neighborhood by its gas stations. Like, when you see, you can't make out the pump because they've scratched a gang insignia into just a small, I don't begrudge a guy who's in a gang and proud of it, but for just that little piece of lucite it's about an inch and an eighth tall, and it's about 3 inches wide, and it just has the amount we put in or the number of gallons, and you have to desecrate that.
Yeah. There's a lot of carvable spaces in this world. Why that?
You know what I want to say to...
But that spot has high ratings.
It's true.
It's like getting the Super Bowl.
A lot of eyeballs.
Like,
it gets
a marketing
ton of
genius.
Yeah. It's a ton of eyeballs, but no recognition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not like,
I don't know what...
MS-13, very respectable.
I don't know what gang you're in, just by the hieroglyphics that are on top of the thing. But anyway, I was just staring into that. It's hotter than balls. I started to get this sort of a global depression. And thank God we had an event on Friday night for me to get to. Right after my heart out, which was a softer, harder out. First thing, I was driving in the sweltering heat, and I realized my mom, who's lived in the San Fernando Valley her entire life, is going to die without central air.
Yeah.
Oh,
she has wall-mounted units now scattered amongst the house, but will go from zero to whatever she goes at, never living in a house with central air, and not out on Point Doom in Malibu, in
the hottest part
of the San Fernando Valley. Never, because it's not like the house she grew up in when she was young had. She's essentially dodged. You know, she may die in 2020 or 2021. She will have dodged central air her entire life.
That's a real feather in your cap.
If she's like most people, ironically, she's going to die in a place, the hospital, that has lots of central air.
That'll be her first.
She's very so cool.
This is what I was missing.
No wonder she died. She couldn't handle the central air.
Change of climate.
And a lot of power outages last night in the valley.
Yeah.
Did that affect Mama Carolla?
Don't know.
All right.
Don't care. All I'm saying is that the woman you want raising you?
No.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you, Brian. All right. So now, speaking of Brian.
Yeah.
I did what I always do, which is I showed up at this event for some of the backers for the No Safe Spaces that me and Prager were doing. That was Thursday after all day in Fontana.
Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Thursday was the show. And then this was, I said Fontana, I meant Irwindale, same place, basically.
No one's going to hold you to it.
Just a town with a racetrack in it. And then had to come back for the backers. Everyone's real nice and everything. Met a nice kid. Had multiple brain tumors.
This guy emailed me. Josh, he's a BMXer. He's like a professional bike rider.
Wow. He is a professional BMX freestyle bike rider.
And his uncle took him to this event, is what he told me.
Yes. So we got to speak for a little while. And I said to him what I say to everybody. And I think everyone thinks I'm kidding, but you shouldn't. You should, Josh Perry's his name. Yeah.
Josh.
You should walk me through whatever it is you're doing in life and or your business, and then have me explain to you what you're doing wrong, and then change it.
Because see the blind spot.
Yeah. I said to
him, your brain's eating itself. Fix that.
Every time. No, I focused on BMX riding.
Okay.
I said, now, I see you guys riding your BMX bikes. And way back when I was doing Ordinary Extraordinary with the great John Ritter and Leanza Cornett, Miss USA or Miss whatever, and we're filming in Orlando. It's like, those special people. Wait a minute. Those incredible animals or whatever this was. It's like one of those throwback 80s, 70s shows. They had a guy. He was going to do a double backflip on a BMX bike. He was going to take off down a ramp and do a double backflip. And he was rehearsing like before the show. And I was just watching him. And I was thinking, so here's my entire life. I say to someone next to me, why does he have those huge billet aluminum pegs sticking out from all four axles, right, left, front, and back? And they stick out like 4 inches, and they're like an inch around, and they're knurled aluminum. I said, why do they have those? And he said, that's for when they do the street stuff, where they get up on the front bars, and they whip the bike around, and then when they do the half pipe, and they land on the coping, and they grind it out, and then they drop back down. And I said, understood. Why do they have them now?
What does he have?
Why does he have them when he's trying to do a double backflip just ramp to ramp in the middle of a sound stage? He's not doing any grinders or any free riding. And they went, it's what's on his bike. That's what a BMX bike has. And I said, yeah, well, maybe you should remove those. Mm-hmm. For this.
Those superfluous items for this particular task.
Somebody cut a little weight.
There's a super exotic item. It's called a nut. And you could go to Home Depot and just go get one and tighten it on. It's probably already on the axle. Just unscrew these, and I'll keep track of them for you. And they're like, the people are always a little like, I don't know why, but this kind of logic confuses most people. They go, those are on the bike. You know, you get that. This kind of answers. Well, I don't know what's up. What's up
bikers.
What's up with people and their answers? I'm having these like crazy.
This will be a long conversation.
All right. Remind me. I had a great one with my family last night. As soon as I'm about done saying that, he does the double backflip, doesn't land it right, eats shit, and the peg goes right into his side. All right, now that was 18, 19 years ago. Now, smash cut to me standing in my warehouse with Josh with the brain tumors, and we're talking about you, we're talking about the tumors, talking about freestyling and BMXing, and I said, what's with the pegs? Can we take those off when we're trying to do backflips and whip arounds and all that kind of stuff? And he said, no, those are for the guys doing the grinders on the half pipe. And I said, yeah, do you ride the half pipe? And he said, no. And I said, all right, then you shouldn't have them. And he paused and he said, I wish you would have told me that 4 months ago. And I said, why? Because I broke a rib, because I was trying to do a whip around on a dirt jump, and I ate shit, and I landed right on the peg, and it broke my rib. And I thought, yes, of course, but where's everyone else? Like, where are all the other human beings? Like, what? There are these things that are protruding from, not times one, times four, from the front and back of this thing you're going to eat shit on. By the way, this is a thing that has a crossbar that has a piece of foam rubber on it as a pad. So we understand this concept, right? There's a crossbar. It has a pad on it. If you said, why is there a pad on this crossbar? They go, well, there's a chance it could hit you if you landed on it the wrong way.
The doctor walks back into the exam room. He says the x-rays in hands. Yeah, you have broken ribs. Anyway, more importantly,
Well, that was when he got whacked his head and got knocked out, and then he went and got a CAT scan. But still could have saved him the broken rib.
Yeah.
Well, and I think people will say, well, you know what? If it was important, somebody would have told me by now. You have to be the somebody on the planet that tells them by now.
Nobody listens to me.
I wonder if it's so. Not, I don't know this guy Josh very well, but I wonder if it's like sort of the devil, you know, like. I've done this way my whole life. If I'm getting this wrong, what else am I getting wrong in my life? Like it's I've gotten me this far.
I think you're thinking like someone's thinking. Yeah. It just is.
Stop doing
that's
that.
The bike. That's what everyone rides. Nobody asks any questions.
You're probably right.
Look, we rode a 10-speed and or dirt bike or whatever bike, single seat bike, with no crevasse where the nutsack went for the first 200 years, and then. 9 years ago, right. Somebody went, maybe we should create a little space for the nutsack, and they put a taco shell in the middle of the seat, and everyone was happy for it. I don't know. So you could have said in, you know, 18, you know, the scene from Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, that bike scene had no taco shell
rain
for the nutsack.
Right.
Yeah, nothing there. And then you could go 100 years ahead in history. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. And then in 2007, somebody went, we should carve it out for the fellas. Mm-hmm.
The throat protector on the bottom of catcher's masks.
Yeah.
It's like, this is probably a very smart, simple solution. Yeah. I wouldn't just want someone to have thought of 100 years ago.
Yeah. So anyway, I was sad to hear about his brain tumor, but satisfied to hear about his broken rib after giving a lecture on his pegs.
I don't know how much you talked to Josh, but he emailed me like yesterday and said he met you, and he said he does like these BMX events for charity, like to raise money for brain tumor awareness and stuff. So that's turning your lemons into lemonade. Yeah.
I think there needs to be that peg awareness charity.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, win a peg. Win a
peg. Lose a peg. No, lose a peg.
All right. Kenny is calling from, my family and the bizarre not listening. We're driving to see Spider-Man last night.
Oh, what'd you think?
It's good. And I did the move where, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but I drive through the Red Arrow.
What?
And then.
Okay. You're trying that out? See how it fits?
I'll Google it later.
Then I say, everyone, kids, please listen. Drive through these goddamn arrows. Just drive through everything. I'm now drive through red lights. I just look right to left. Like I'll put it this way. Irwindale Raceway has one of those parking lots that has a signal, but it's just a parking lot.
To get into a driveway.
And then just endless highway. And you can see 2 miles to your right and 2 miles to the other. There's no buildings or anything. Just gravel quarries. And I just went, well, I'm not going to sit here at this endless signal. I just drove. I just do it all the time. So I was explaining, everyone, just do this. And they go, yeah, well, we don't want to get a ticket. I said, you'll never get a ticket. Just look in your rearview mirror. If there's no cops, look forward. No cops, drive through. They don't hang out. I was giving this speech. Later on this week, we're driving to Vegas. That's where you get a ticket. Because everyone in this car, everyone in this room, everyone in this society has no problem with going 83 miles an hour on the way to Vegas right through a speed trap. Mm. That's where you get your ticket. No one is going to drive through an arrow where the cops aren't hanging out because they're pussies and they trap you. They don't go intersection to intersection. They find fishing holes and they have to be teeming with trout. That's what they do. So I was explaining to my family, and my wife Lynette said, well, how do you know? And I said, I'll tell you how I know. I've been doing this for almost 20 years and I've never gotten pulled over. And everyone screamed, you've been pulled over before. You've been pulled over before. And I said, yeah, for speeding. Yeah,
for things, speeding. For
you
this.
Guys were in the
Proving
car. We were going to Kevin Costner's house in Santa Barbara, and I've been pulled over. Yes, for the thing I told you, but not this. Mm-hmm. Then Lynette said,
so they're all on board.
Then Lynette said, well, that's you. You're not going to get pulled over. And I said, you know, you get out of tickets because you're in the man show and stuff. Which, again, is true, but it doesn't prevent me from getting pulled over. I get pulled over first. Mm-hmm. I should have just drove into an oncoming truck. Right? Like I was like, found myself telling everyone in the car, wait a minute, I'm saying I do get pulled. All right, forget it.
I'm trying to help you.
Everyone, drive through those arrows. Please, let's create a utopia. And all you need to do is, you know that in Idaho, they flash yellow. Right. So yeah. They're just do it. The city has declared war on its drivers. We need to fight back. That's
I understand
all.
That Lynette doesn't adopt all of your suggestions wholeheartedly, but I'm surprised you're not on board with this one after all this time.
Driving through those
the red lights
arrows,
is a little hairy, but the red arrows seem that it's kind of a layup.
It feels very unnatural and very weird to most everybody, and the only all it does it's like killing prostitutes. You just it becomes easier, and then eventually you start looking forward to it. You know what I mean?
A little dopamine spike.
No, you honestly, like, it's really weird at the beginning. It feels so, like, you look everywhere for cops. You go, there's no cops. Just drive through. And it's like, it's weird. I do believe this. When you get pulled over, I think a lot of it is an emotional, shame-based, have to deal with the cop. And I'll explain what I'm saying in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Alone on History. Back for fourth season with a crazy new twist, man. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into an unforgiving wilderness. But now it's 5 competing teams. Brothers, fathers and sons, a married couple. It's a different kind of survival show. Besides their teammate, they're truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. No gimmicks. No forced challenges. Teams are split, equipped with 5 items each. To win, they must find each other and survive the Northern Vancouver Island, the longest, and there's $500,000 at stake. That ain't chump change. So tune in for an all-new episode Thursdays, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 9 central. That is 10 o'clock, 9 central on History, the show Alone. New episodes Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 central, and it's only on History. I believe there's a psychological and emotional component and dynamic to this whole thing, which is this. First off, people are freaked out because it literally says red and you can't go through the red. Now, obviously, statistically, in the time that I've been running red arrows and as I did earlier today, right arrows that say like no right on red, I'm driving through those. I drive through red lights. I've never been pulled over for that. In that time, I've been pulled over multiple times for speeding on the freeway or doing something else. So statistically, it's not even close. You're going to get pulled over driving to Santa Barbara, driving to Vegas, statistically up north, much more than you would turning right. As a matter of fact, so far, it's a zero for me. I've been yelling about it. I've done it thousands of times. I am... I'm pretty much at my 20-year anniversary of this, and I it's not like, well, every full moon I do it. I do it every single day, every day. Never a problem. So statistically, it's not even close. But emotionally, when you're driving along the freeway and you're doing 82 and it's posted at 65 and the cop pulls you over, you don't really feel like an asshole. You're pissed. You're a little more pissed at them. It's a little like, oh, come on, buddy. I'm listening to the radio. Yeah, the air's on. I'm sober. I'm keeping up the pace.
Your
or whatever.
Number came up. Right. It's like there's 100 other people around me doing
this. But not, it's like, yeah, you caught me.
Yeah, but I'm not doing anything. Like, I don't have any shame or guilt or remorse or weirdness. It's a little more like, that'll raise the goddamn speed limit. And then they ask you, and you know, you say things like, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I was just keeping up the flow of traffic. Or we hit the downhill grade, and I guess I sped up a little. It's not that thing. If you get pulled over for driving through a red arrow, you're busted. Like, you just complete, that guy or gal is going to come to the car, and that person's going to be pissed, and they're going to have an attitude.
Because there's no way to say you didn't know what you were doing.
And you're just,
there's no ambiguity.
Yeah, you're just, your picture's going up at the post office the next day. Like,
it's like Mike Pence with his hand on the thing that says, do not touch.
Right.
Right.
You can't, you're busted.
You mean mother?
You are busted if that happens. And emotionally, I don't think anyone really wants to deal with that. Yeah. We can all get past, like, getting stopped for jaywalking. We don't internalize or feel weird or, like, it's just, that's a little busted. Speeding, a little busted. The change of lane,
a
little busted. Just pushing through this when it's red and you stop and you see it and you go, fuck it, I'm going anyway. That's weird if you ever get busted, which makes it difficult for people. I'm telling you to ignore that feeling. And if I get busted, fuck those cops. I'm fighting that shit. And they're going to have to explain to me why what I did was more dangerous than the intersection before and the intersection after, which does not possess an arrow. Thank you.
Do you know how much yeah, but stilling would be after you've given your speech in the courthouse?
I'd like to shine a light on this. I'd like them to get rid of this shit. They got to fix it. There's too much here in LA.
You know, as we're talking about getting pulled over, though, I want to know what happens if you get pulled over for speeding and, like, you're proud. Like, yeah, I was doing 85. Yeah, everybody else is too slow.
Yeah. Right. Why were you going to copy
a 90?
When they say, why were you going so fast? Because it's awesome.
Hey, real quick.
Oh, yeah, sir.
We got a gift in the mail from a listener in Denmark. He called himself Mikhail. I'm going to say Mikhail. He spells it Mikhail. He's a big fan of the show. He ran across a product the other day that he made him think of us, Cabretti style. Pizza scissors.
Yes!
Pizza scissors.
Specifically
for cutting pizzas. Got a wedge and everything.
With a slice to pick it up.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Wow. He sent us pizza scissors from Denmark.
Yeah.
Everything in the back said another language.
Can you only use it on Danish pizza?
I'm going to guess you can cut other things, but I think it's designed to cut pizza.
That's fantastic.
So if you want to slice up your pizza.
Ironically, probably use it on Danish too, like when you're dieting.
That's right.
Yeah, my old pizza scissors are... worn out.
Oh, so
there
this
you go.
Is a mitzvah.
And you can pick it up.
Write this down for my coffee table book of what black people think white people talk about all day.
All right, they'll be here. Scissors. They'll be here for the next party.
Thank you.
Mikhail.
Kenny, 45, yeah. South Dakota. What's going on?
Hey, Ace Man, get it on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
Paul, Gina, Dave, thank you all. Hey, to digress a little bit, first of all, Cobra. A buddy of mine in college did a shot-for-shot homage to Cobra, but he played the Cobra part. But every line was spoken with helium in his voice.
Wow.
Can we get a copy of that?
Can we add this to the black people that you're talking about? Coffee table book?
Yeah.
Shot-for-shot remake.
Can we see that somewhere?
You won't find it anywhere. It's probably on VHS somewhere in his garage. I can try to get a copy of it for you.
Please, explicate.
I will. And red lights, I saw a guy yesterday take a left through a red light one block away from the police station driving towards the police station. So
good.
The bar's been raised, Corolla.
I have done it. I have done it like behind cops who are like turned down the same street in front of me. No, they can't see you. They don't. It doesn't look like
it
anything.
Turn yellow. Yeah. Turn green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thanks, Kenny. What'd you call in about?
I called in because last two summers ago, I worked for the Officer Candidate School for the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
And two summers ago, I was sitting out on a land navigation field, and we had about five guys had to retest for their land navigation. You got to find 3 out of 5 points. And they failed to do it in the first try, so they had to do a retest. And I'm sitting out there, and I'm listening to your program. It's on my iPhone. And this guy comes up with his test score, and if he doesn't pass this, he goes home, and he does not become a U.S. Army officer. So he comes in, Corolla, cool. We listened to you for a little bit. We laugh, and then I grade his paper, and one of his points, he had to find 3 out of 5. His last one, it was marker 1015, and he put 1051, and I gave it to him just because he's a Corolla fan. So
yes.
Out there somewhere.
Yeah.
USA!
That's right.
The kind of detail we want in the Army.
Later on, when the rockets go to North South Korea instead of North Korea, we'll know who did it.
Call Kenny.
Corolla fan.
He said
that.
Mahalo as he launched the rocket.
Thanks. He misspelt it when he wrote it with chalk on the nose. Thanks, Kenny.
Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate that.
I'll send them all through.
Please. let's see. An answer to Vin Diesel and why his dad's death was a little confusing. The story about him doing stock cars or super stock or pro stock. Yes. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Love you guys on the show. So I think I can help solve this headache a little bit. So in that line where he says, my dad was in the pro stock doing whatever, I'm convinced that the line where he's wrecked into the wall, where Vin Diesel says, on the last turn, he wrecked him into the wall, I believe that line was written to be kind of at a drag strip where at the end, you know, you just turn and you have to get off the track and come back around.
No.
I'm going to turn on a drag strip.
No.
Yeah.
Hold on. Get off your speakerphone. Hold on. Eventually, you do have to make your way back to the facility.
Oh, yeah. So circumnavigate the Earth.
You're like Magellan. Yeah.
8 months later.
Yeah.
Barnacles from the ship ride.
Yeah, the kind of mileage you're getting on that blown big block Hemi, you should turn around. It'd be faster than circumnavigating the globe. He said turning on turn, whatever he took of it. No, they take those turns at 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like they're literally just backing it up and trying to push around. Yes. Mark?
I think that the line was supposed to be when he was turning off at the end of the track, the dude he was racing wrecked him into the wall.
That's insane. There is no wall. They go on forever. Both cars go across approximately at the same time. They roll to a stop with a parachute. There's no...
Correct. However, if the other car has this brakes out or something like that, and it wrecks into the other car at the end on accident...
No, they don't even... No.
I don't know.
No,
it makes a lot of sense.
This is horrible. It's horrible analysis, Mark. It's
they have a wall between them anyway?
No. They'll have a wall on each side of them, but it's open between them. On most every case. And then they just kind of coast to a stop. And the brakes, as far as the brakes go, they don't really even have brakes most of the time.
I appreciate Mark's attempt at point crapping.
He should also hit himself in the head with his phone.
Yes. I don't think he was trying to crap. I think he was just trying to suss out that
wedge.
Scene. Yeah, but that was horrible analysis. Hey, Satchel.
Good name.
Yeah, hey, say, how's it going on?
Good, man.
Is that your real name?
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet name.
What's going on?
No cool story behind the name, though.
It's fine.
It's not like bags.
Yeah, so I got a question. So you're stranded on an island, and you have to pick one of the lackeys. Who do you take, and why?
I take Max Zapata. He's compact. He's a good tree climber.
True.
Yeah.
People
go
can
vertical.
Scurry up a tree, yep. Number one. Number two, he eats shrimp tails. He'll eat anything.
Anything you just
So
caught.
I feel like if I got Tom Hanksy and, like, speared a fish, I could eat, you know, the fillets and the meat and all that stuff, and I'll toss him, like, the gills and the eyeballs and stuff like
Save
that.
Save the head, boss.
That's right.
But his hunger is never satisfied, and Gary doesn't eat very much.
Well, Gary's a big guy. He's tall.
Yeah, and he could probably reach the coconuts just from the ground.
True. Fondeliers, you know, if the food source dries up, Fondeliers is very marbled.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's marbled. Yeah. Satchel, I'm still going with Max Pat. I feel like he's good at climbing trees. I feel like he's good at eating scraps. You know, I just feel like
he can keep you entertained.
Yeah.
Make a ukulele out of a couple of coconuts.
And chill. Yeah.
Hey, Shauna, 43, Washington.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's happening?
Well, I got this issue I was wondering if you could give me some advice on. Married. My husband is super awesome. He's funny. He's interesting. But we have Christy? Kind of a different... What's that?
Keep going.
Go ahead.
We're just kind of different in the conversation department. I like some pauses and some quiet, and it drives him crazy. And so he'll fill up every bit of silence to the point where he'll read road signs or menus to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, with your propensity for talking, is there a polite way for me to get him to just shut up that won't hurt his feelings?
Shouldn't this be directed at Lynette?
Hmm. Yeah.
She might have an answer.
Yeah. What would work for you?
What would not hurt your feelings?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. Nobody listens to me. They really don't. Sonny's a big time talker, and he actually listens pretty well. And, he's actually insanely sweet. I know you guys know this, but he said something the other day that was so insane. Like, he said, somebody forwarded me our Man Show's Man Pond commercial. and because there was some Trump crapped his pants golfing, and then someone said he should have got Man Ponds or whatever. And I hadn't seen it in a million years, and I watch it. And then Sonny hasn't seen anything from the Man Show. I don't think he'd. I'm not sure if he knows Crank Anchors and Man Show and stuff like that. So he's old enough. I said, yeah, okay, check it out. And it's fun with Jimmy, because now Jimmy's hosting the Oscars, Uncle Jimmy, you know. So I said, take a look at me and old Jimmy, you know. And he watched and he laughed. He thought it was funny, and he brought an Italian. They wanted to watch it too, and they had a laugh. And then at some point, he stopped and he said, wow, man, you look so young in that thing. And I said, oh, I do, huh? And he said, yeah, you look so young. And I said, so I look old now? And he went, oh, no, you don't look old now. And I said, I get it. I look old now. Oh, well, that hurts Daddy's feelings.
Because now Daddy's
old.
And he went, no, you don't look older now. It's just your clothes. I could tell by your clothes.
Oh, wow.
My clothes were, I was just wearing a t-shirt.
Sure. And a young man's shirt.
Gym shorts.
Are you calling me fat now?
It was so funny, but it was so cute. He was trying to backpedal and make it about something else. So he went with the clothing.
Yep. No. He can't front pedal.
So, Shauna, you're probably asking the wrong guy. No one listens to me. I think, your husband likes talking a lot more than you.
He kind of just can't stop.
Yeah. And again, Sonny's kind of that way too. I've found that most women hit a sort of saturation level and are just not interested. Like, it's interesting. The way we process, the way we take things in, like, you know, when, actually, most people are that way. Like, when Jimmy Kimmel's probably one of the first guys I've ever met that just had an endless sort of sea sponge capacity to imbibe everything I was saying. Like, he would just sit there and go, that's good. Oh, you're right. No, that's good. And then this. And then he'd do it. And then I'd do it. But as I now look back on it, nobody else I knew was ever that way. My Ray and Chris and all the assholes I grew up with, or school teachers, my fucking parents, like, everyone was just like, I don't know, whatever, who cares? You know, like, it was all that. Like, you know, it's weird. Like, you'd go, I wonder, you know, it's like you're doing these comedic things. Like, you're going, yeah, you know, the hot dogs come in an 8-pack, but the buns come in a 6-pack. And they go, how do you figure that? And they go, I don't know. Who cares?
I never thought about
it.
So you have two extra buns. Yeah, okay. Big deal.
So buy two things of buns and shut up. Like, that's, I don't know why most people are that way, but it's a fucking horrible way to be.
Observational comedy must have had a rough start. What's the deal? I don't know,
who
Jerry.
Cares?
You tell me.
Oh, my God. At the Corolla house and at North Hollywood High and with my jack-off idiot hillbilly dirt head buddies that are somewhere like spreading stucco somewhere right now. Like, imagine talking to those idiots. So I feel your pain. I feel his pain.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they all may not be pearls of wisdom like they were from the Ace Man.
Well, he's literally just reading road signs out loud.
He may have verbal diarrhea.
Shauna?
Yeah?
What if you got him into meditation or something quiet?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. He just kind of goes crazy in his head if there's not constant dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried these sunflower seeds? Here, have some more.
Yeah.
I kind of do like him a bit bigger, so I try to feed him a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sunflower seeds are a good idea.
Yeah. I just do what everyone does with me. Just start tuning out. You can just tune out.
Shauna's kind of a catch, too. She's like, don't worry about talking so much and keep eating.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, I never stopped the amount I talked. I just realized everybody just tuned out.
Adjusts around you.
Yeah.
And what you say is witty and interesting and insightful. It sounds like this guy's reading road signs.
Well, thank
Jumbo
you.
Shrimp with cocktail
Slippery
sauce.
Slippery wet wet. Oh.
All right. We'll do a little...
no U-turn.
Yeah. We'll do the Rotten Tomatoes game first. I'll tell you about LifeLock. Ah, FBI says over 1 billion loss in internet scams and 2015, someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect. And if you're only monitoring your credit, that ain't going to cover it, man. Thieves could sell your information to the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. They are the best, man. The industry standard. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock, you got the best. You get it? I got it. Philly Cheesesteak has it, I think. The kids have it. Lynette has it. Look, you're shopping online. All the stuff you buy online, your information is out there. Let's not be exposed. Let's go with LifeLock. Dawson.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM15. That's ADAM15, ADAM15, to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. Let's do a little Rotten Tomatoes, shall we?
All right, so it's really hot this weekend. So theme of this week's game, heat.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Hope heat's one of the choices.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. All right, first up, 1981 film, directed by Lawrence Kasdan, stars William Hurt and Kathleen Turner. William Hurt is a small-time attorney, not particularly smart, in a Florida town. Maddie, played by Kathleen Turner, is the femme fatale that kind of convinces him to kill her older husband, Richard Crenna. And things get, you know, film noir-y. It's a mystery. It's a murder mystery. The movie is Body Heat.
Mm-hmm. I remember this being good. Critics seemed to like it. Made a splash. And
was this her first like big starring role? This kind of made her a star?
Yeah, this was one of her first big roles.
I'm going to say the critics like this one. What was there not to like? And she was great in it. 81.
Ooh. I took a chance. I said a little lower. I went 70.
Yeah, I don't particularly remember this, but I never heard anything bad about it. I said 83.
Body heat is fresh at 97%.
Oh, wow.
Woo.
People had it at 80, but the critics love this one.
All right. Next up is a 1984 film about two gangster, or I'm sorry, cops, played by Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds. They team up in kind of Prohibition era Kansas City, if I remember correctly. The movie is City Heat.
Never heard of this.
No. I mean, it seems like a movie that would be on the poster when you're making a movie about guys who made movies.
What year? 81?
84.
Oh, boy. I don't think this one did very well. And
directed by Richard Benjamin.
Interesting. Not the guy you think of when you think of these kinds of movies. Boy, but are we in the 20s or are we, 48? Can't be above 50. I'm going to say 33.
Yeah, very close. 40. I don't know anything about this movie.
Close as well. 39.
City Heat is rotten at 21%.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, no one's doing well, but I'm doing the best of the least.
All right. Next film. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a stern law enforcement officer from Russia. James Belushi is a smart mouth Chicago cop. They team up in Red Heat.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember this either. What year is this?
1988. This was the first and maybe only movie to really give Schwarzenegger a reason to have an accent.
Yeah.
I'm loving the billing. Schwarzenegger, Red Heat. And if you look way at the bottom, Belushi.
Belushi.
Yeah. And they left the first name off because it might, get a little more traction.
So Walter Hill directed this, who also worked on 48 Hours.
All right. Well, that's good. So that means could have been something. I'm going to say Belushi was great in Salvador. Remember that? With James Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Oliver Stone? Did he write that?
Belushi was really good in that. Like, you tend to have a knee jerk with him. Like, oh, come on. But About Last Night he was good in.
Yeah.
He was good in Salvador. Which is a very interesting movie.
Salvador is like City Heat for me. Like, I know that I've seen it, but it's been so long that all I can remember is I've actually seen it.
It's good. I mean, Woods is good in it. All right. Boy, who knows?
I really don't.
It could be, 35, or it could surprise you at 71.
I couldn't even tell you if it's good or not.
I'm going to say 57.
Ooh.
I don't feel like it's one of his being Schwarzenegger's more celebrated movies. It never comes up, so I'm going to say 40.
Yeah, judging by the poster alone, I'm going 33.
Red Heat is fresh at 62%.
Ooh.
Good night.
Pretty brutal right there.
People hated it.
Yeah, 37 with the people. Now, it's weird that a movie like this kind of broad thing with the shoot 'em up thing, is 37 with the people and 62 with the critics. You'll almost never see that. All right.
Next up, in 1995, we got the first on-screen pairing between two legends, Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. Val Kilmer's also in this, about a hard-nosed cop taking on professional thieves in Los Angeles. The movie is Heat.
This was a real good movie because it showed sort of criminals as business people, mm-hmm. and a little less of just these sort of gangsters who are always dressed in black,
Or it doesn't show them as like a criminal, insane masterminds. This is their job. They have a process and they steal money.
Right. Like the guys that are insane, they're like, oh, we can't work with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That's the guy they try to take out.
Yeah, it makes it much more interesting when the heavy has the nuance and you realize he's not. Because it's that sort of, the villain's got to kick the cat for no reason. Like, he has to be bad, but they're not bad to their kids. They're not bad to even their neighbors. Mm-hmm. They're just bad to whoever happens to be in the bank.
Yep. Great, great, great cast. Deep cast, too. Just beyond the stars. Yeah. This cast goes on forever.
All right. So now we know it's got to be 85 plus. The real question is do we shoot for 97 or do we go 89?
Playing safe.
I'm protecting a lead here at this point. I'm going to go 90.
I love this movie. I own this movie. I hope I get it right. 93.
Ooh, I went low, 89.
Heat is certified fresh at 86%.
Ooh.
Love this movie.
All right, lastly, I really wanted to use The Heat, but we did that a couple years ago, so couldn't use it again. So instead, we're going to go with a 2001 comedy set at Camp Firewood with a cast of very popular comics at the time, Janine Garofalo, David Hyde Pierce, Michael Showalter, Paul Rudd. Bradley Cooper is also in this. The movie is Wet Hot American Summer.
I was really hoping for Windy City.
This is one of those movies that got cool or was cool, but I don't, it's sort of, I don't know. It's like everyone liked Meatballs, but Meatballs wasn't very good or very funny. It was like, it was okay.
Well, yeah. They did make a TV show off of it, and I think they're doing another one.
Yeah, I don't know where there's certain movies that capture certain whatever, especially in the comedy realm, where you go, oh, we got to like that movie. Otherwise, you're not hip or cool or whatever. And this one captured the, if you don't like this, then you don't, you're basically saying, I don't know what comedy is.
Yeah, I didn't see this till a few years after it was released. And by that point, it was a thing. I was like, oh, you got to see it. You got to see it. I just didn't, I didn't respond to it the way other people did.
Well, because it's not that funny. But it's not unfunny. It just joins the ranks of many movies that aren't really that funny. But some get anointed, like, you know, they become this weird kind of
Caddyshack.
Yeah, Caddyshack's like overrated, but it
Vacation.
The stupid beer, Strange Brew.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, although that's not quite like the cool kids. It's somehow,
but it's a cult thing. It being a life of its own.
All right, so now this has got to be the worst movie ever for me because I got a nice fat lead here. Mm-hmm. And this movie in my world is 47%, maybe it's 57%, but the critics could have gone nuts for this. Mm-hmm. The critics could have this thing at 89 or something, and I could be off by 40. I'm going to
go with your head, not your heart.
Was it too silly all around?
I think the critics somehow this became a darling, even if there wasn't a lot there. I think a pretty good lead to protect, and for that reason, I got to go 65.
Oh, I went much higher. I said 85.
Oh, see, I thought the premise was great, but I did stay safe. I went 72.
You protected your lead, Adam. Mm-hmm. Wet Hot American Summer is rotten.
No!
Whoa!
At 32%.
I am really, really shocked.
That's crazy.
Where'd all the buzz come from?
Well, the audience is 76.
Yeah. Even that, that's good, but it's not, you know.
Off the charts.
Yeah. I mean.
Wow, it wasn't 32.
Wow, that was a 53-point error by me.
Yeah, just go home now.
I might be in triple digits.
It's not even close. But I will say that this game has a nice silver lining. The highest score
by a long shot
belongs to Bald Brian. 128, leaving Gina and Adam. Adam, you said you were playing to protect your lead, and protect it you did by 34 points, beating Gina Grad out. Gina had a score of 104. You win the game with 70.
Wow. Well done.
Gina's score. The temperature outside.
Exactly. It is. Rotten or fresh.
RottenTomatoes.com is where you can go. And now features tomato meters for TV shows. And I love seeing it pop up when I'm scrolling through the cable. Selections.
Oh, I was watching last night. I was watching Groundhog Day with Chrissy. She had never seen it, so I decided tonight we're watching Groundhog Day. 97% on the old TV screen there. Just popped up, told you what it was.
RottenTomatoes.com is where you go. We got a quick clip. This is, Rainn Wilson and Dave Koechner up on stage with us out in Oxnard a few days back. This is not. It was a live podcast, but it didn't air. It's can get it. You can subscribe over at Podcast One.
Yeah, new protocol. The live shows have their own feed at podcastone.com/premium. So you get all the live shows, but they traditionally don't come out as podcasts these days.
Yeah, we'll air a couple a year.
And just to set this up, this was during the round of made up movie. So it's going to come in just kind of in the middle of the made up movie where I believe it was David who suggested that the movie should become a musical.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, he also wasn't going to do it, but his kid's sick.
Oh, and the other one has been kidnapped.
Yep, and the government has the cure for a sick kid, but they ain't going to cure him
if
he don't do his diligence.
I'm trying to think.
And that's a great musical number, diligence.
Yeah. Shall we?
Okay.
Yes, please.
Is it a ballad? Do you think Diligence is
no.
I think it's an up-tempo.
It's a snappy number. It's a snappy number.
I don't want to take this assignment.
I've got one word for you, one word for you, and it rhymes with pilligence.
Pilligence, pilligence, what could it possibly be?
The word, I think you know that word. That word is coming to me. You gotta have diligence, diligence. You gotta do your due diligence, or your child's gonna die of that terrible face cancer. For which we have the cure.
And then we go back to the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. There was some marching during that.
Those guys were great. And couldn't be nicer.
Oh, the best.
That movie's going to be certified fresh. I'm pretty sure it already is.
All right. Moisha.
Moisha.
I like Moisha.
I like Moisha, too.
Casher's in here. Natasha Leggero's coming in. And we'll talk to them right after this.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents what had happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn it, I killed her.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
You're invited to a special town hall meeting. Corolla Drinks presents the Reasonable Doubt Town Hall with Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla. Admission is $30 and includes two free drinks. Your ticket will also include a free download of Mistrial by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson. Don't wait, tickets are going fast. The Reasonable Doubt Town Hall, Thursday, July 20th, 7 p.m. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Shut the fuck up! Stop fucking complaining every other episode about traffic and homelessness and all the shittiness that fucking California is, and run for goddamn office. Now, lest anyone say I'm being hypocritical, because I go on and on, but I'm not running. I don't have a platform. You literally have an international massive following. You literally have a fucking talking platform to boost your numbers every single day. Get the fuck out there and save the world. You're hot because you don't know you're hot. Corolla fucking 2020.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero here. The Endless Honeymoon Tour,
That's
everybody.
That's so cruel you let them call in.
That guy, I couldn't tell if he loved you so much or hated your guts.
I apologize. Yes, I was drinking that night, and I should have put the phone away.
I think it was one of those things that used to be in every third movie when I was growing up. At some point, the wife was killing the husband and explaining, "I love you too much to let you live," or something. And I figured there's about a 40% chance that's how I was going to go. Yeah, the door's still open.
That's the theme of the Endless Honeymoon Tour, is that one of us is not going to come back alive.
So, you guys, where did you meet? Natasha was explaining that on this podcast that she didn't believe in marriage and think she was going to get married, was never going to get married. So, how did you break her?
Oh, physically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Broker. Like Drago.
Yeah, it was like a. It was like, yeah, exactly like Drago. Yeah. I am the Khaleesi in this family. How did I break you? With his dick. I mean, no, I don't know. Just by being cool.
Romance.
Yeah, she broke me too.
No, he's good in bed.
Where did you meet? At a club?
I think we just met in the comedy scene.
Moshe was one of those comics that you were like, you just roll your eyeballs if you had to follow him, because he's like, really like, goes for it, you know? Like, he talks a mile a minute, and he's like, there to destroy. I'm just saying, that's not my energy.
Right.
So I'd have to follow you, and I would get really annoyed.
Yeah, Natasha's like more of a comedian. She's like, she's kind of like there to bomb. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of her energy.
No, but I'm just like not there to like for destruction.
Oh, I will say I was perpetually single too. Natasha's not only my first wife, she's my first girlfriend.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you?
That's weird to say.
How long have you guys known each other?
Oh, many years.
When did it become intimate?
5 years ago?
Yeah.
All right. So how old were you 5 years ago?
5 years ago, I was 33. So I had a long streak of being single, being on the road, the beauty that follows. I mean, I know what I look like.
Is that weird to not have a girlfriend till 33?
No, I had many mini girlfriends. You know what I mean? I had many acquaintances that I met for.
Moshe had women. He's like, oh yeah, she used to give me back rub. Like, he would just go to someone's house and she would give him a back rub, and then he'd get to fuck her and then leave.
But what was the
under the yellow pages?
What was the?
That's a girlfriend, right? Yeah. When you pay him when you leave.
You don't remember.
What is the, like, for them not to be a girlfriend? Like, I'm trying to think, like, when someone becomes sort of de facto a girlfriend, like, you must see them once a week, you might have intercourse, it must go on for at least 6 months, like, it just never met that criteria.
Well, I would have defined it as both long-term and emotionally intense. I had some that were emotionally intense. Oh, I'm sorry, monogamous and emotionally intense,
right?
I had some that were emotionally intense, but they weren't monogamous because they like lived far away or whatever, so I could kind of say, oh, that's my girlfriend, kind of.
Right.
Or I had ones that were like, you know, they were short and they burned bright, but were monogamous, but then they ended. Natasha's the first person that got me. I mean, I got a dog like a year before I met Natasha, so I started on Pablo, young Pablo. Everything but the sexual stuff, and learned how to love. And then I met Natasha. I mean, I already knew her from the scene, too, though.
You must have been attracted to her. Like, you must have been, like, you spotted her years before.
Yeah.
I kind of always had a boyfriend.
That's true. And so she always had a boyfriend, so I didn't really consider her in that way. But she also wasn't attracted to me for a long time, right?
Because he used to shave his hair really close, like, so you could see the scalp. Like, it kind of looked like, how would you describe that?
Like a gay Hitler is what I looked like. Yeah, kind of a little gay Hitler.
But then you grew out the sides of your hair, so it wasn't that, like, kind of fade, and
it's an Elvis Costello song, isn't it? Little Gay Hitler. I love that one.
It's a classic.
But see, what do you think of this? Like, well, you're not a good person to ask. Let me ask you, Gina. Okay. Moshe thinks that there's like so many women out there who just want to have sex. Like, they like that he comes over and gives a back. Like, they get to give him a back rub and get fucked, and they don't want to go have dinner. They just want the same thing.
Yeah, you're living the fantasy, Moshe.
I'm not. I'm no longer living the fantasy. I'm a married man. I'm now living in the reality.
But still, I just think there's so many more men who are into that. Like,
yeah.
Eventually, the woman's gonna be like, oh, can I come see you perform?
Yeah, she's tolerating it, but she's not enjoying it.
No, oh, she's enjoying it. So you've never spent a night with me. No, I'm not saying that.
Moshe's saying,
scenario.
By the way, it's not the size of the Jew, but the Moshe in the Osha.
But the gay in the Hitler.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I think, listen, I'm not saying that I think women have an equal amount, equal percentage of women like long-term, casual, one-night standy type of situation, like booty call situations, than men. Obviously, more men like that than women. But women like to also perpetuate this fantasy that their sexual reality is every woman's sexual reality. And I have met some women over my single years that were very into a very casual situation. You must have. You come.
Well, I there's a theory. No. I've basically a theory, which is, you know, 10 to 20% of each sex is going to be wired like the other sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually, there's even a study, because I was saying, like, I noticed when women, there's some women have like a really pronounced jawline, mm-hmm. and they have a stronger sexual drive, and they're just, they're more like dudes. Like, there's some...
This is the height of pseudoscience.
Yes.
If you look at her jaw...
There's a study.
Look if you look at her jaw...
Science.
If she's got a big German jaw, you can fuck her that night. There's no question about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, or don't even wait for the streetlights to come on if it's noon. Why are you waiting 7.5 hours?
They have matinees.
Gary will look it up. I'm telling you, a certain percentage is just like the other percentage. Like, look, everyone can agree that a certain percentage of males are attracted to males, 10% or 7% or whatever it is, and a certain females are attracted to females, and there's a certain amount, probably about the same amount, maybe a little higher, that are wired like the other sex. But it's a two-way street. We all know guys that don't have that sort of male wiring. 100%.
Yeah, who want to, like, nest and settle down. And that's 100% right. There's just so many people in the world that everything that could have happened has happened. That's what, you know, like, there's got to be a gay guy out there that at some point was like, no, I am straight now. No, I really am. Because there's just too many human beings in the world for all things not to have happened. But I don't think, like, every girl I ever had a booty call with was like, no, you know, I just love it. I love how casual it is. I
You're
like
gonna
that
leave
he
after this, right?
TikTok. Yeah.
Wait, Moshe's impression too. I used to ask him how he would get rid of the girls, and he said as soon as they get done having sex, he'd be like, do you know what time it is?
Yeah. I would do that. I'd go like, oh, yeah, what are you,
and then
yeah, oof, it's late. What are you doing tomorrow? Oh, no, nothing? Yeah,
I gotta get up real early.
I got a thing.
John Hamm and Bridesmaids. God, I want you to leave, but I don't want to sound like a dick.
Yeah, yeah. And you would
say, were sweeter than that, Mo.
Yeah, you would say like, oh, you can stay. You could definitely stay. You can stay. I will be getting up very early. It won't be pleasant for you, but you can.
Make a lot of noise when
I'm
shower.
A noisy waker. A lot of cymbals.
Who are the folks that don't get, they're not picking up what you're putting down, like in all forms, mm-hmm. like when you just go, look, I don't want the hassle of you waiting on me. Just go ahead I'll meet you over at the Chipotle. Just go ahead. Just go there and sit
I'll
down.
Wait
I'll be
outside.
There.
I'll wait in their couch.
It's a hassle. No, I got to put the dog out. Just go ahead. Just go ahead in front of me. Who are those people? Like, really, they're pushing you to just stop and go, we're taking two cars, okay? Because you have halitosis. And I'm not going to deal with it anymore. Like, why? Who are those? And what is that? Like,
there are people who don't get signals.
That's so
and,
true.
And social cues.
Yeah,
like,
social
we all
cues.
Have friends like that who just, like, don't pick up on the social. They're exhausting to be around.
But they think they're getting extra points.
Dr. Drew is that way.
Is that right?
Dr. Drew is zero. Brian, am I right?
What I do now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what you did.
What are you doing?
The story, this is a perfect example of no social cues or not understanding what's going. When we did Loveline for a million years, if Rod Stewart came in, then, or Kevin Costner or something, producer Ann would go get her camera back when there weren't in every phone, and she'd go get it. She'd go, oh, let's get a shot of Rod Stewart and the boys, you know. But every once in a while, you'd have Darren, the drummer from Goldfinger. And we'd be getting ready to leave, and everyone would be walking out, and Drew would yell to producer Ann, where's your camera? Aren't we going to get a picture? And she'd always look at him and go, I forgot. Let me go get my camera. Thank you. Hold still. And I'd be like, oh, God damn it, Drew. Now, what am I going to do? Leave? Like, we have to stand there. Clearly, she doesn't want the picture from Darren. I like Darren from Goldfinger, but we don't need that picture. She gets it out when Rod Stewart
clearly
comes
you like
by.
Him. Clearly, you're a big fan.
He's a dear friend. I'm just saying, Drew would never pick up when it was somebody that was a household name that you wanted to get that picture on the wall, like if you had a deli, you'd put that up versus that person. You never know. He would just shout out, go get the camera. And he would assume that Ann forgot, although Ann would never forget if it was an A-lister and always forget if it was, you know, somebody from a reality TV show.
Maybe he was just like super, like sort of spiritually aware and that everybody in his eyes, Goldfinger equaled Rod Stewart.
He's just pure of heart.
I think it's a form of intelligence, and I also think like if you come
to get cues.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also I think if you maybe come from like a bad household situation, maybe you're better at picking up cues because you're from a very young age, you like know when people are fighting or know, I don't know.
No, right. That's good. That no, you sense. Have you have to read people. Yeah. You have to try to nip things in the bud. You like have to kind of know where it's going.
Get out yeah. in front of
Natasha
it.
Always knows when I'm like violent drunk. And so she avoids me. She's really good at figuring that out. And she'll scream daddy and she locks the door. It's like, it's kind of cool.
I had, I don't know if I was talking about the people that were going to come over at 11, but then we told them come over at noon. Like there's certain.
I don't think so.
All right.
They came at 11 anyway.
No, but if someone says, hey, we'll come over Sunday morning at 11, and you go, make it noon, it's not going to be 12:05. It's going to be 11:41.
Yeah,
you need to know that they wanted to come at 11. You called at noon. They said okay, but they're still going to be tapping on your door at 11:41.
Still
and
in
you
your
need
towel.
To know that. Like if you think, I'm going to get a shower at 11:40 and then I'll just answer the door at 12:03 when they don't know.
They'll be
earlier. Yes, that is a that's a good thing to know.
I also think
beings.
It's interesting that the word no is no longer sufficient in English. You can't say no without sounding like an asshole. You have to say, oh, no, kind of, nah, can't really do that. No is just, no on its own sounds rude. Can I come over at noon? No. You can't do that. You have to follow up.
You do that. You're pretty good at being strong.
The hard no?
Well, you're just good at, you have good boundaries.
I do have some boundaries. Yeah.
Well, like Adam, when that guy said, can we come over and sit with you?
Yeah.
At the restaurant, what'd you say? You didn't pull up a chair. No.
Well, he did sit down.
He already sat.
I was at a
but wait.
There were three of us at a four top in Minnesota at a Polish joint, and some kid wanted to sit with us.
Okay, here's one, Adam. What would you do? Yesterday, the pool cleaner asked me if he could take a quick dip.
Crazy! I wasn't home.
I couldn't say no.
She let him do it.
That's 109 degrees.
I know.
She said, don't go crazy. Which, what would the crazy have been? Bring her in the pool.
He says, damn it, never mind.
Moshe goes, you should have said no. And I was like, I couldn't. It was too hard.
That's a weird one, though. He's standing right there. That would be very hard to say no. He's
probably sweating his ass off cleaning your pool.
Right. And what do? Well, first off, is he wearing trunks? Is he going in his underpants?
I mean,
you
I think
have to provide a towel?
I think he's kind of cleaning in like some sort of. Swimming out.
A board
short. Yeah, a board short.
Oh, and he's your guy. You're going to see him again in a week or a month or whatever it is. Like, this isn't a one-time only, no thanks, never see you again.
What would you do?
Well, first, he's playing the wrong end. Well, first, I wouldn't have felt horrible because he's going to see another 19 pools between now and quitting time.
This is my last chance.
So you wouldn't have felt bad to say no.
Everything else is a hot tub today, please.
I would have said, I'll tell you what.
I got that one sauna to clean.
Kick off your flip-flops, get in the Baja shelf about shin height. That'll be foreplay for your next pool where you have the elderly woman who's infirmed and always has the drapes drawn upstairs and you can slide. In. She's not going to know about it. But this guy's an idiot because what this guy should have done is just dove in. See, as a pool, if I was a pool man, I'd always just keep an acorn in my pocket.
Yeah, you said something needed tending to
I'd
go, the
I spotted
pool?
An acorn and I went in.
You're
I didn't
hero.
Ask questions. I
you
just
know
went
an
in.
Acorn can ruin the pH balance
everyone
of a swimming pool. We all know that. That's
absolutely.
Pool talk.
And I couldn't get it with the skimmer and it was too big for the vacuum, so I just went in head first, man. There you go.
Because now he's going to always want to jump in, right?
And that's why the Native Americans never had swimming pools. There was just a lot of acorn-related damage that was happening. I'll leave. Should I go? I'll go.
They tried. They tried to do it.
Yeah, now, well, what? What he should do, I mean, what everyone should do, because I've had those jobs where I work in people's houses, and you want to eat food, and you want to pinch Tylenol PMs, and you want to go through panty drawers, and all those things that's very instinctive to a male.
Very universal human
very universal.
You know, desires.
But you have to wait until they go somewhere. So he's going to hit 14 houses over the course of this day. Find the one where the car's not in the driveway and nobody seems to be around and you kind of get the schedule and everyone's a 9-to-5er and it's noon and just jump in on that one. I like that he asked, but it puts you in a weird position because you can't say no.
Well, Moshe said he would have said no.
I don't know what I would have said. What did I say? My line would have been, I think actually I'm gonna use it like right after you leave, so I'm kind of just running out
that's
of like
a bad line.
That's weird too.
I don't know.
I'm allergic to pubes.
Because it is kind of like your bathtub.
For me, it is.
It is.
I'll tell you something weird and sad because We have the pool with the salt water, whatever, that's supposed to be better, whatever. I'm fine with anything all the time, whatever. I don't like those people. They're like, you know, when you get out and there's chlorine and you're all itchy. I'm like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about, pussy. It's never happened to me. But if I frolic in a pool and I'm in there for an hour, that's as clean as I'll ever get. But the kid who came over to the house, who showed up 20 minutes early, went swimming, and the kid's like 10. And at a certain point, I like came home and I went, where is he? He's in your shower. And I thought, when I was a kid, if you were playing in the pool for an hour, you didn't need a shower. Did you shower? No. This whole showering after the pool is a weird, in a nice new saltwater pool.
How old is he?
He's 11.
I think kids are changing. Like, kids are all into health food now.
They're pusses.
But they're into healthy eating now.
That's
healthy.
Good, though. You want them into healthy
eating.
I'm saying
it's cool. It's like, no, yes, I do think dropping acid is fun, too, as a teen. But it's like cool among young people to like eat really healthy and go vegan. And like the things that were vice are now, they're into like extreme
healthy. What about showering after the pool?
I don't know. I just feel like that's connected in some weird way.
It is. It's called being a puss.
When we were kids, like all day in the pool was the excuse not to shower. That day.
Yeah.
Like, I spent all day in the pool.
Well, and the last thing you're going to do is go to your friend's parents' bathroom and take a shower.
That is really weird. Yeah. That's genuinely a weird choice.
Oh, this wasn't your kid?
No.
No.
Well, were his parents in the entertainment industry?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say maybe he's just a fan. He's like, I showered in Corolla
recon.
Shower,
he's
man.
He's for his parents.
He's got the best shower.
All right, should we do, by the way, the Endless Honeymoon Tour. It is next Wednesday, July 19th, One Eye Jacks in New Orleans, and then coming up at Buckhead Theater in Atlanta. That's July 22nd to 23rd. James L. Knight Center in Miami. Tickets can be found at Moshe and Natasha's site. Go to Natasha Leggero. What should we go to? NatashaLeggero.com?
Yeah, either one. NatashaLeggero.com. We're also going to New York, Philadelphia, Montreal, Boston, Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis. We're going to a city near you if you live in that area of the country.
Destination-based.
Yeah.
All right. Get ready with the news. All right. I'll tell you first about Smart Mouth. Dual solution oral rinse. Only activated mouthwash. Clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology binds to bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur. So, and speaking of Dr. Drew, he loves this stuff because it's just science. The sulfur, that's what causes the problem. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as stinky breath. Doesn't matter if you're working out all day, you drive a Lambo, doesn't matter if your mouth smells like wet garbage, that is a foul, man. Foul breath can ruin social situations, sabotage relationships, or career prospects. Do not let that happen to you. Get Smart Mouth. You can get it at smartmouth.com, or you can find it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you like to shop. It is the best. It is Smart Mouth. All right, Gina, let's do a little news.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this is a little PSA for all you unmarried folks that are still out there playing the field. The World Health Organization reported that they found three different cases of a sort of superbug, drug-resistant version of gonorrhea. Experts say it's only a matter of time before gonorrhea antibiotics will be of no use at all. The STD infects an estimated 78 million people a year. And for those of you who aren't familiar, gonorrhea spreads through unprotected vaginal, oral, and anal sex, as well as through sharing sex toys that have not been washed or covered in any way.
Well, that's just lazy. Yeah.
That's true.
It's what the dishwasher. If you don't do that move I do where you take the dildo and swipe it under your armpit, you know, I wear a t-shirt when I make
that's sterile,
love.
Right?
Yeah. Dip it in the pool.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That
The guy from Hustler, Larry Flint, apparently his line was, I always take a piss after I have sex and I've never gotten an STD. That was all he needed.
And my thing is, yeah, but Larry, do you have to do it on the chick? I mean, statistically, it's going to be the same if you just go use the latrine.
Wait, people fucked Larry Flint?
Yeah.
People want to be in Hustler.
He has an inflatable.
He has inflatable penis.
Oh, is that currently?
Like a ball
But it didn't used
ball
to.
Pump.
It has a pump.
You know, like those Reebok pumps you used to wear?
On the tongue?
Uh-huh. Yeah, this
so
one's
gonorrhea in a... like herpes, like you know you have it.
Well, I thought gonorrhea was one of those things that was very easy to clear up, and that's the problem. It got so easy that the bug got smart.
All right, let the guy with some experience in this, some skin in the game, talk.
Let's keep it to 18 minutes.
Yeah, all right, I give up because that's,
have
that's
you
not
had gonorrhea?
No, I haven't. No, no, I've never had.
It's the pain with urination.
I'll tell you what goes on with.
Yeah, it's many of those who contract the disease experience no symptoms, but if left untreated, the disease can cause infertility in women, pregnant women, puts babies at risk of blindness, and yes, it does burn when you urinate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a symptom, untreated. By the way.
That's a symptom.
I mean, if it's left untreated. Yeah. I've just come to the conclusion that nature doesn't want us fucking willy-nilly. Like, they don't mind a little, you know, a handful of pussy, but they don't want cargo nets.
They want motion capture style.
A handful?
Yeah, just a handful. They don't like us getting, like, it's not a religious thing. It's like a nature thing. Yeah. Nature doesn't want us just to go fuck indiscriminately all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't go full motion. Yeah. But you know, I think about that a lot, almost as a religious thing, that the things that are easiest to get addicted to fall into addictive, compulsive behavior, that is sex, smoking, drugs, alcohol, are also things that can kill you. Which is such an interesting, they have a
curd thinning effect.
It's almost like there's a morality to, I mean, I don't believe in morality in that way, but it's kind of weird when you think about it.
No, but think about AIDS. I mean, think about what was going on before AIDS. I mean, just bathhouses and glory holes and crazy, just insane debauchery. Man. And you just go, nature's not a fan of that. And you're right. I don't know why. I don't know how it works, but they're just not a fan.
Because nature should be a fan of that, right?
You think it would
be, right? To procreate as much as humanly possible.
Because the sperm doesn't know it's going into a guy's ass, right? It thinks it's going to create a little
fair point.
That's
baby.
A good point. Write that down.
Thank you.
Put that on a license plate frame. Don't blame the sperm. It doesn't know it's going in a dude's ass. No, but a certain amount of people are born gay. Not going to procreate. Right. A certain amount of people are going to kill themselves. A certain amount of people are infertile. Like, it's just nature just kind of balance. Doesn't want all the time everything.
Well, there's the theory that the evolutionary existence of homosexuality is, in fact, to prevent overpopulation. It sort of seems bunk, but it's an idea. That's why there are 10% of people are gay, because there would be too many of us.
I'm with the nature answer for most things. All right.
And when you were talking about the best time in history, will you refresh us as to when that was?
Best time? At mid-Coke, pre-AIDS.
Oh,
that's best time. Awesome. We all missed it, but
what year do you think that was?
Like 78, 79, you know, would have been the height, 80, 81, you know, no AIDS, lots of Coke.
Have you ever heard the origin story of AIDS?
Mm-mm.
It's, well, here we go. I need more than 18 minutes.
It's the worst Marvel movie ever.
But there's an episode of Radiolab called Patient Zero that goes through it, and it is so fascinating.
Oh, the flight attendant?
It's way first of all, the flight attendant is a total myth that we all believe.
Oh, really?
Because it crystallizes the story. It makes it easy for all of our brains to wrap around. The true story is so much more complicated. You heard it. Yeah.
I do. I don't remember how it began, though.
It's like in the 30s, in the 20s, in the bush of the Congo, and like the most impossible statistical anomalies of like a bushman killing a monkey at the very moment that the monkey had been bitten by another monkey. And it's just crazy.
Eating that monkey.
Yeah. It's so wild. And it makes you think. I mean, the story is so impossible, but there's so many versions of a virus trying to go pandemic that eventually another AIDS will happen. There's no possibility that it won't, because there's just so many viruses that need the perfect petri dish to go pandemic. Basically, it's good that we got married, because we're good. No super gonorrhea.
Well, that, and also you could very easily be accused of raping people now.
Yeah, that's true.
You specifically? Well, more problems on planes. ABC and Yahoo News reports that a Delta Airlines flight attendant last Thursday night smashed a wine bottle over the head of a male passenger who lunged for an exit door while they were in the air and assaulted a flight attendant and fellow passenger during a Beijing-bound flight from Seattle. This according to the criminal complaint filed on Friday by the Washington State Prosecutor. 23-year-old Joseph Daniel Hudick IV of Tampa, Florida. He's expected to be detained until his hearing on the 13th. Now, according to the complaint, here's what happened. Hudick exited the plane's bathroom, said something to the flight attendant, went back into the bathroom, and then lunged for the exit door trying to open it. Two attendants grabbed him. He pushed them off, so the attendant signaled for help from passengers and then notified the cockpit by telephone. Hudick punched one of the flight attendants, female, I believe, twice in the face.
She brought AIDS to this nation.
He's so to save she us from AIDS.
He's a hero. He's
she
the
had
hero.
That yeah. one coming. Yeah.
Stewardess hero.
And then one of the flight attendants grabbed two wine bottles, hit him over the head with it. One of them broke. There's a picture of the aftermath up there. One passenger got him in a headlock, but he broke out of it until finally several passengers held him long enough to place him in zip ties. And he allegedly remained combative and screaming the whole time. The plane turned around, went back to Seattle. Hudick was reportedly flying on a dependent pass, by the way. He's related to someone who works for the airline. So he was just sitting up in first class and went a little crazy.
So he was drunk.
Well, I think there's something to this.
He looks young and like kind of a troublemaker. Floridian. He does look Floridian.
He went to the bathroom. He came out. He went back in. I don't know if he bumped something, snorted something. No idea. I'm sure it'll come out, though.
How pissed is the person who worked for the airlines who got him the first class deadhead ride from Seattle to wherever?
Beijing.
And like, this guy, like first off, first class from Seattle to Beijing is $11,000 flight. First class. Because they don't have the, it's not really first class when they're going overseas that way, but you're going to have your own cocoon.
You're going to Gary Pod.
Yeah, your jerk pod.
Your own jerk pod. So somebody buffed this guy out, and then he went ballistic on the plane. So first off, Aunt Nellie is fucking rip shit, right? She's had 21 years with the airline, and now this. She has to be rip shit. Yeah.
I would get so pissed if I was on a flight and it had to, like, if you had a connecting flight, like, let's say you have a connecting flight in Beijing and now you're, like, going back to Seattle. Yep. I mean,
yeah, I'm more interested in this, like, Floridian white trash, like, troublemaker who's like, I'm going to Beijing. I've always wanted to see the Great Wall and the hidden soldiers.
By the way, this is a
travel troublemaker. Yeah.
Like, if I'm his attorney, I'm basically saying, look, bad news is you're sitting here in a drunk tank in Dade County. Good news is you were going to get caned almost immediately. Like, they probably would have preemptively caned you at the airport just knowing that you're a troublemaker from Florida and that we're just going to give you a couple of canings now. That should hold you over till the weekend.
Yeah.
You're going to do something now and then that would deserve a caning. And we'll deduct these. We'll prorate the caning.
These will get credit towards your next caning.
Yeah, right. And one
give
of
us that little coupon like they have at the sub shop, so we'll just punch
card.
It. Yeah, 10 of those, you get a free caning.
And one of the witnesses says, and so there's no way to confirm it, but he did scream in the middle of this, "Don't you know who I am?"
Oh,
he's one of those.
Oh,
nice.
Now we do.
Well, yeah, we sure do.
How far out were they?
45 minutes.
Oh, that's
from
not
Seattle.
So
yes, they were over Vancouver Island and had to just turn it around.
But what do they do when you come back? Do they clean up and then go like, all right, let's go to Beijing? Or is it over for the day?
I guess. But with more and more nut jobs in that door right there with the big old handle on it, I just kind of keep staring at it going, well, what if a terrorist just said, I can't get any explosives or gun on a plane, but I certainly can rip the door off.
I just had the same thought. I was like, thank God.
Oh, you're saying you can rip the door off if you're just sitting in the
exit
row?
I'll bet you can't.
Well, I was in a galley, but I'm saying thank God someone was there. What?
But when you go to the bathroom, you will pass that door. Like if you're in first class, that'll be in the galley, so you could stand there. Like theoretically, Jesus, I had like a 40-minute conversation with Alec Baldwin when I was drunk, just standing in that galley once flying back from New York. They'll just let you. They used to. They probably still, like if you're in first class and they're cool, they'll just let you stand there while they're doing their service.
Just in a transcontinental flight.
I'll bet you, Gary, you can't pull one of those things at altitude because of the pressure.
What would happen? It would be okay.
Have you seen Goldfinger?
But everybody's got seatbelts on,
no,
right?
No. If you
Not
rip that thing off and it depressurized that way, there'd be a lot of people getting killed.
That's how Payne Stewart died. The golfer, his plane depressurized. It wasn't. I think it was a door that opened. It was a plane depressurized.
I
want to
stop
and they all
died. Stand up. Too much travel.
Only by railway.
Because we're on a plane like every week.
Whoopi Goldberg does that apparently. She will only travel by bus or by train now.
John Madden.
I mean, it's not logic.
They the Payne Stewart one was insane because the Payne Stewart one, I don't think the door didn't blow open.
It just depressurized.
It depressurized slowly and everyone passed out.
Oh, what I'm reading here is that because of the pressurization inside the jet, it's physically beyond a human's capability to open the door at altitude unless you have the pilot. Apparently it happened once in the 60s or 70s, but that was a hijacker who forced the pilot to depressurize.
D.B. Cooper.
Wow. D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper.
But there's a legend, though, of the only human that has the strength to do it is the fourth in the great Hudik line.
That's true.
He who this is the fourth moment. Hudik.
Yeah. Pulling the sword out of the stone.
Don't you know who I am?
The Payne Stewart one was...
I was born for this moment.
The Payne Stewart professional golfer one was insane because everyone who was in the private jet was passed out because of the lack of oxygen. And the plane was still flying because the plane was on autopilot. And they knew, the people on the ground knew what happened. And they knew that the plane, which was still just flying, they were trying to figure out when it was going to run out of gas and where it was going to crash. Even though everyone on the plane, I theoretically could have been alive for a while, but passed out.
I heard it's just flying.
They should have flown a much, much, much bigger plane under the private jet and then just lifted it and landed it.
That's how that works. Foolproof.
That's exactly. Yeah, how could that have gone wrong?
The part of the story that I remember, and it could be apocryphal, but I think they got visual confirmation through a window or something that everyone was lying, was out.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Because they were going to shoot it down. Wasn't that part of it?
Like, I think it ran.
They were going to take it down.
Ran out over South Dakota eventually. Yeah. Just ran out of gas.
How does a plane become depressurized without the window flying out?
Two married comedians are on board.
This is a great joke, and I appreciate you making it, man. Thanks.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, when it comes to waxing and shaving, a survey has found that 46% of men want their female partners completely hairless down there.
What?
Yeah, 30% of men said they like to keep things neatly trimmed. 12% said they go for the landing strip. And 6% say they like it completely au naturel.
What's the percentage that they want it bald? Wait, what's the first one?
46. I think it's supposed to be gone. Like you're like a 4-year-old.
I don't. I mean, Moshe, you don't like
that. A sexy 4-year-old.
No, I don't like a 4-year-old at all. No,
no, but you even have told me before that that's a little weird to have like a bald pussy.
I actually think it's coming back in hair.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, the sperm doesn't know that it's in a man's asshole, and it's a little weird to have a bald pussy. Yeah. I thought that hair was coming back in. Like a lot
I think it is.
The popular porn stars have a big, like, sort of puffy muff, and it's good. It's back.
That's what I got.
It's back.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
I've said this a million times, but I stand by me on this, which is the best look for anything is it looks like nature and God just shaped it perfectly, but it wasn't tampered with.
Yep.
Women are that way too, which is they love a guy with a great build, but it doesn't look like he's eating creatine and living at the gym. That's why they love the swimmer's body.
Right, that's right.
You know, they love this thing.
The comedian's body.
Yeah. The dad bod.
Yeah, sure. The stand-up body.
They love a guy who looks like he got his muscles, but he swings an axe all day. He's a lumberjack. It's not because he's sitting there all greased up in the gym waxing and all that kind of stuff. They love a natural looking whatever. And men are the same way. We love a beautiful set of boobs. We don't like when we can tell it's a boob job, right?
Yeah, no.
And so I think when it comes to waxing, do the best job up until it looks like nature couldn't have done any more than this, and then get out.
This is like the best father-son chat ever.
No difference. And daughter.
You have to tell your daughter not to get a landing strip.
Natasha's Italian, so it just looks like a bowl of squid ink pasta. You know, just like, come on, you guys. We're having a great time, aren't we?
Natasha. Same with the eyebrows. The eyebrows should be manicured, but not look like you just got back from the waxer.
Somewhere between Andy Rooney and Divine.
Yeah, the kid from
there's a sweet spot.
The kid from Spider-Man.
The new kid?
I was marveling at that kid's lack of eyebrows the entire movie.
Back to Whoopi Goldberg. Yes, doesn't have eyebrows. Whoopi is the backbone of this conversation.
Black don't wax. Oh, no, wait a minute. How's it go? I screwed that
black
up?
Black don't crack.
Oh, okay.
Black don't wax.
I can't look. I got a lot of thoughts running through my head. They're not all correct.
Once you go black, you never get waxed. You know, the classic saying.
The old adage.
Yeah.
Find the picture of that kid from Spider-Man. I'm marveling at his... lack, you got to get tighter than that, but he had a complete lack of eyebrows in many of these shots. I mean, it was pencil thin. I've never seen that on like an 18-year-old guy.
Yeah. He kind of has that 1920s starlet eyebrow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He's a pretty boy.
I like an unmanicured eyebrow on a lady. I like it.
You don't know that it's unmanicured though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If they do a good job, right, they make it look, it's the bedhead thing. It's looking must up, but it takes an hour to get that way. All right, I'll tell you about TrueCar. Well, Gary finds us a good picture. TrueCar, shopping for a car, make sure you get real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. TrueCar, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual TrueCar certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So when it comes time to buy a new car, whether you're going new or whether you're going previously owned, you go with TrueCar. Their TrueCar users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. Chris Maxpata, our own Chris Maxpata, bought his Prius from TrueCar. Things looks brand new, but it was got a couple hundred miles on it, technically used. Anyway, when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar. See what other people are paying for the exact same vehicle. Apples to apples. Enjoy a more confident buying experience. It is TrueCar. Do we bring it home, Gina Grad?
We'll bring it home right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gay Hitler.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Ah, where were we? Ah, the master class. That's right. Is that what we're calling it? Yeah. The
master's class.
Oh, Gary. Find a goddamn picture where the kid's eyebrows can be seen.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the top one. The bottom one is not that. If it doesn't read, then don't put it up there. But the top one. That kid's got the skinniest eyebrows I've ever seen.
It's almost like they've
I've never
cut.
Seen a teenage guy, or I don't know how old the actor is. 20?
Probably around there.
Find that out. All right, Gary, we got it. Thank you. Masterclass, where was I? Yeah, Irvine Improv. That is August 5th at 9 a.m. Going 6 hours worth of session over there. So go check that out. No Safe Spaces, me and Dennis Prager. NoSafeSpaces.com you can go to if you like. He's 21 years of age now, so maybe he shot it when he was 20, I guess. You just go to adamcarolla.com, find out anything you need to find out about where we're going to be and what's going on and the cruise and all that kind of stuff. And there's Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero, the Endless Honeymoon Tour. And you should go to where? We should go to Natasha Leggero.
NatashaLeggero.com or MosheKasher.com if you want a spelling challenge to find tickets to all the shows.
And we're coming to 9 cities, and if you don't live by one, take your husband or significant other and take a vacation to one of these destinations.
We do stand-up, each do a stand-up set, and then we bring couples on stage to kind of humiliate them and do couples counseling, relationship counseling.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's fun. We've had a good time.
Someone got married from it.
This is Adam Carolla from Moshe Kasher, Natasha Leggero, Gina Grad, and Bull Bryan. Say mahalo. I'm allergic to pubes.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like. The phone number is 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. And for tickets for everything, live podcasts and the Carolla Cruise in November, Mangri events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com.